Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a pair of teens believe they see each other in the night, only to discover that they were both dead asleep.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. You can do that over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus content, including access to quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. That's what we've created here on the show. You get our brand new bonus episodes every week, advanced episodes of the show, all of it's commercial free. Our Amazon best-selling ebook and Audible best-selling audiobook are there for you as well, all included. $5 a month. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to sign up for all of that. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode. What's going on in your world?
I was just going to tell you that I've been a Patreon member for a while now, and I'm blown away by how much audio there is. Like, you could start listening, and I don't know how long it would take you, but it could be years later before you wrapped up all the stories. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was, I always really enjoy when we're going to get together and do this, but then when those little teases that you do at the beginning of the podcast are as good as the one today, it's kind of like being a radio geek listening to the radio station in the car, and the DJ does something really cool, and you get all giddy about it when you did that tease a little while ago. I was like, wow, this is going to be a good episode. So, can't wait.
And then the latest from Janet Jackson plays, and it's like, yeah, her career was done 25 years ago. That really should have just not happened.
You're right.
Yeah, the teases are always better than the real thing, but sometimes, sometimes they work. Latest from Michael McDonald and Lady Gaga coming up. Don't ask me how the fuck that's a thing, but hey, it's a thing, and it's coming up. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I've had, I've recently redone my bedroom, and I've talked about on the air, like, I had a light that kind of kept turning on by itself.
Right. Yep.
Gone. It doesn't do that anymore. I've replaced the fixture. So I'm assuming maybe it was something with that fixture. No, I'm not completely discounting and saying that there wasn't some sort of energy thing going on there, but maybe it was just that one light, or there's something there that was triggering it, but that has stopped. But since redoing a lot of things, my mind has not necessarily caught up to where reality is in the room. So in the middle of the night, there's like noises and stuff that happen, or just settings in the room that are different than what I've been used to. And last night I had two of them that were really kind of freaking me out. So I have a chandelier that has like kind of like crystally things on it that is on the fan, and you run the fan, and they kind of rattle just ever so slightly. Not so much that you can't sleep, but you can kind of hear it. And all of a sudden in the middle of the night, I hear this like loud thud, like right next to the bed. I'm like, what the hell was that? And my eyes are kind of closed, and I'm like, do I open them? Like, is there somebody in my room? And I'm just like looking around and trying to like not obviously look around. And here's what happened. One of those little crystal things fell and then hit the ground. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what it was. Because they're really just kind of on there, not super as secure as I would like them to be, but it is what it is. Then this morning, I also had a weird thing where I had forgotten, I have new curtains and everything set up, and it's a little bit brighter in there than it had been. And I'm opening my eyes, I'm like thinking it's still like super, I'm thinking it's like 2 or 3 in the morning and it's kind of light. I'm like, oh my God, why are my lights on? What happened? And it's like, oh, it's like 6:30, and it's just the curtains are, you can see through them enough that it's lighting things up. But it was two of those moments. I wasn't necessarily thinking ghosts, but I was thinking intruders, and I don't know why, but I'm like, it's like somebody just hanging out in my room watching me sleep after the thud, and then suddenly it's light in there and it shouldn't be, but it just takes a little time to get used to new settings.
See, now that's creepier, thinking that there could be an intruder and then a ghost, you know, because a ghost you can kind of deal with whatever. But if it was an intruder, it's even worse. Now, have you taken time, like, have you ever taken time out of your life to, like, sage your house or sage your room or anything like that?
I've thought of it recently, but I've not.
Oh, my God, you've got to do it. I actually bought some yesterday and I don't even have any problems. I'm just like, you know what? I gave them to a friend to use to sage her house.
Yeah.
And I don't have any around in case I ever needed it, so I stocked up yesterday.
Buying sage in bulk?
Yeah, well, you get a better deal that way, that's why.
Well, you know, stovetop doesn't count. You can't, like, do it your house in stovetop sage, you know, dressing and get the demons out. Although I've always wondered, why would that not work just as good?
I don't know. I think, you know, the sage that I know there's a special kind of sage you're supposed to use, blah, 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 but I've used, like, garden sage before and dried that out, and it's worked just fine.
I've actually seen it for sale at Whole Foods, like, in the dried bundles for smudging. And I was really kind of surprised. I'm like, oh, look, you can demon away your house right when you get your rotisserie chicken right there. It's all ready for you.
But I think a lot more people do that kind of stuff than I think we realize.
I think you're right. Here's my question about it, though, because I've never done it. And I it's not that I don't believe in it, because obviously I've heard stories about it for years. But it was just running through my mind recently of, like, you know, I don't feel like my house is haunted or anything like that, but just kind of for the energy aspect of it, of just kind of, let's refresh this. I'm refreshing a lot of things. We're kind of starting out a new day, kind of just making it feel fresh. And I thought, you know, it'd be interesting just to try it and do that. Now, what should I expect? Am I going to notice anything? Do I have to, like, is there something I should be doing while I'm doing this? Or do you just kind of light the sage and walk around the house and just kind of think positive thoughts? What do you do? Because honestly, I think I'm going to feel a little silly the first time I'm doing it if I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Well, I think two things. Number one, don't burn so much that you never get the smell out of your house, because some people do that too. And then you've got that nasty, there can be a nasty smell if you've got too much in your house. I think, don't you think though, I think it does do something, but I also think that it changes our mentality and our energy level. Mm-hmm. So if you are trying to kind of clean things up in your life, maybe move on for some freshen things up, whatever that is, I think it's just kind of a mental reminder that you're doing it. And when you're saying things, whatever those things are, mm-hmm. as long as they're positive affirmations, I think it helps change your attitude toward things too.
So you don't want to walk around going, fuck this, fuck that. Can't believe they
did
this.
Remember the last time you did that to Goat Boy or something like that at the radio station, and then we kept going off the air?
What did I do?
We had talked about the ghost at the radio station, and all of a sudden we were having problems, and you're like screaming at the top of your lungs, fuck you, Goat Boy, or something like that. I don't remember what it was. But all the power in the studio kept going off and on every time you kept screaming.
You're right, I did.
Yes, you did.
I was kind of like, I mean, I believed in that stuff, but I think I was kind of in that teenager phase of, like, I'm going to question it all and think some of it's bullshit, but, like, challenge it. And you're right, I did challenge it. And it really kind of showed me, don't screw with me.
We had never had anything like that happen before that intense until you pulled the crap you pulled that day. So.
And then there was crap for, like, ever. And, like, I would go back and talk to other people even after you left. And, like, I hear children downstairs now. I'm like, oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, you definitely tapped into your inner Zach Bagans that day.
I could curse the station forever. That's great. I didn't even have to get out a Ouija board. I just had to insult them. And, oh, God, I completely forgot that I did that. Yeah.
Oh, it's a great story. One of the very few that I remember from that time in my life.
Oh, God. Yeah. Wow. Well, I guess I'm to blame for a lot of the hauntings.
Well, maybe you should start burning sage, you know, just to be on the safe side.
Go back there. So when I visit with a... Okay, Terry, it's been a long time, but I got this sage here. I got to make up for something I did 25 years ago down the hall.
Like, that's right. It's Tony. Yeah. I'm back. Yeah. Sorry, Goat Boy. Sorry.
Sorry. Bye-bye. Like, all right. See you later. And the thing is, he'd just be like, okay, do whatever you're going to do and leave.
Right.
We didn't care. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First one says, I've always been one to attract spirits. So many experiences in my life have proved to me that I'm somehow connected to the afterlife. I'm not sure what I am exactly, but I do know I can see more than the average person. Going to the 7th most haunted school in the United States did not help. I had my leg grabbed. I had someone breathe in my ear. I even saw a little girl in the middle of the night. But those are not the stories I want to share today. This one is a little more menacing. This happened a couple years ago before going off to college. I was around 17 years old, working a job to save up for college. This was a night where I closed alone, so I got home around 11. All of the lights were off in the house because my family goes to sleep early. The way my house is set up is that when you walk into the front door, to the left is the dining room. Straight in the front of the door are the stairs to go to the third floor, and to the right is a little hallway. The hallway has three openings. The first and closest is the laundry room, which the door is always closed to. The second door is the main floor's bathroom, which is open unless someone is in there. And the third opening is to the living room. There is no door, but the wall that ends that hallway and opens to the living room has a dresser right against it. This is where we keep our car keys and old-fashioned lamp. So when I walked into the front door, I turned on a small light. This light does not illuminate much. It was just so I knew where I was stepping, so I don't fall on my ass. As I was taking my shoes off, I looked up down the hallway, and right where that dresser is supposed to be is a figure. I could only see the head and one shoulder. It was like peeking out to watch me. I could not see any facial features either. It was all pitch black. I thought it was my brother trying to scare me, so I said, "Quinn, I see you. You aren't going to scare me." Something was wrong, though. I could sense it. The figure did not respond, and after a couple more seconds, which felt like 5 minutes, the figure slowly moved back behind the wall where I could not see it. I chuckled because I was thinking that my brother was just trying to keep up with his plan. I turned on the lights, went to walk into the living room, looked behind the couch, the chairs, everywhere where someone could hide, and I looked. No one was there. There was no way someone could get past me without me knowing it either. I started freaking out, so I walked upstairs and checked to see if my brother was in his room just to make sure it was not him. He was dead asleep. To this day, I still do not know exactly what this was. Thank you for listening to my experience. I plan to write in more stories. I really enjoy the show. Thank you for doing what you are doing. That's interesting. So you know, he thinks it's his brother because that's the only logical assumption of who it would be. But then it turns out to just be some sort of figure that was there.
I would like to know if there were other things that happened in that living space in the past or continuing down the road, or if it was like a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about the radio station and the fact that there were some things that went on there. I remember specifically getting into the station really early to do my typical morning routine of getting ready to do radio shows. Mm-hmm. And I would make copies of this and I would fax that and I would download this. And I was down to the minute because preparing for that kind of stuff, I always wanted to be prepared. And I remember walking into the copy room, and when I walked in, I turned on the light and there was a figure in front of me for about 3 seconds, and then it vanished. And when that happens to you, when you have those experiences where you see that figure and they're there, mm-hmm. I mean, that feeling is like nothing you've ever experienced before, because you're not expecting it. You're sure of what you've seen. I mean, again, all those years ago, I still remember exactly what I saw there. So I never saw that figure again in all my time at that radio station. But I would just be interested in knowing, you know, what other things had happened in this location, if that figure was ever seen again. It's an interesting story.
That is a new one. I have never heard from you of the radio station.
Oh, really?
No.
So the figure that I saw at the radio station, and this might be a little bit regional, so people may not know what I'm talking about, but sure. There's a character for an air conditioning company in the state of Wisconsin known as Dave Lennox.
Okay.
And the guy with bib overalls, yeah, has kind of like a train conductor hat on, that kind of thing. That is what I saw standing there in front of me. And it was there, and it was see-through. It was not dark. It was very see-through, very transparent, and then it was gone. And it threw me off so much that morning that I pretty much gave up my pre-show routine and just went and sat in the studio thinking about what I saw all day.
So it was that clear, like you were able to make out something that looked like Lennox hitting an air, Dave Lennox.
Something like that, yeah, but yeah. There was the mustache, yeah. I saw the hat, I saw the bib overalls, the whole thing standing right there.
Which is it's a very classic, you know, it's an old-timey look. So it's not, I mean, It's almost, I would say, it's almost Super Mario like.
It is. And the thing is, if you remember properly about that building, I think at one time it was a stable or it was like a blacksmith shop or something like that in town. So that would make a ton of sense.
Yeah, it was that. Because there's one time I had so many things happen. I went down to the library. This is pre-internet days. And I did some research on it. And it had been stables. Like originally it was that. And it had like a hotel type thing to
right.
it. And I believe there was a bar several times over. It had been different bars over the years. But I imagine when it was stables, it probably had that hotel thing going on with it too. So God knows what else might have been going on in that building upstairs. And then it had been several just kind of run-of-the-mill things before the radio station went in. It wasn't it like an antique store or something for like a very short period of time?
Yeah, like a swap shop, yeah. Or like something like that, where people would bring their junk in and all. Yeah, it was. And in fact, we for a long time we did radio out of that building, and it was filled with that stuff. Yet,
yeah, I remember that because I remember coming in there when I was like 12 to do a commercial, and the rest of the building hadn't been finished off yet. It was just the studio up in the front corner, and the rest was still that dark, you know,
garage kind of thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's been so many things. What I've had in, and this is great because I've mentioned the station many a times and we've talked about it on and off, but I didn't have a ton that happened to me there compared to what other people had. I guess at the time I had some stuff, but I think others have beaten me with it. I always had the phone lines that would light up at night and they'd go solid as if someone were on the lines. Yep. And that was always weird. It'd be like tons of lines that would light up at once. So Sam, who used to work with us, he did the night show on the rock station. He saw someone walk by the studio, by the window of the door down to the dead end hall over on the other side. Yep. And there's no place to go. I mean, he walked out thinking it was our friend Greg, and nope, he wasn't there. I'd say that the most definitive thing that ever happened to me there was I was there on a Sunday afternoon. This is back when I think either you were there or you just left. I was about 15, 16, and I was at your old desk, my old desk, and I heard what sounded like keys and papers going down the hall. And I'm thinking it's Greg Stensland, our news director.
Right.
Because he would do that. He was our only news guy. He'd come and go and whatnot. And I'm thinking nothing of it. I get up to walk down the hall to go say hi to him because I would do that. And walk down there. There's no lights on. There's nobody in the building. I could tell the direction it went. He didn't go out that other door that was down there all that often. And I would have heard it. I would have heard those doors opening and closing. And I got up like pretty much right after, and there's nobody in the building. But that was the most, I guess, evidentiary piece of ghostly experience that I had in that building, where I really can just say, I have no way to explain how the hell I heard those keys or those papers. I could maybe make up excuses for the phone lines and stuff, but that was like just clear as day. Now, weren't there some others where this is after I had left, where there people were hearing like kids and stuff in the halls? Or
that was something that would happen to me because I would be in the Sunny studio, the Sunny 97 studio, yeah, running board hopping games and stuff. And that side of the building was different from the other side. There was actually two buildings that were connected by a fire door.
Yeah.
And building on that side had, I called it weaker floors. When somebody was walking down that hallway, yep, didn't matter where you were in that side of the building, you would know somebody was there. Mm-hmm. And I would be in the studio at the very front of the building, and I would feel kids, sizable kids, I guess, small kids, running down the hall giggling. And I would hear them giggling and stuff.
Oh God.
And so I would always think that somebody had stopped in,
yeah,
with their kids, whatever, and the kids were getting out of control or whatever. But I would hear that all the time. And it always seemed to be, and our friend Greg made this comment, he said it always seemed to be when you were there off hours, late at night, really early in the morning, mm-hmm, that stuff would happen. And so, yeah, I had a lot of things. And I don't want to go on too long with this because we got other stuff to do. But when we filmed there for the TV show, we actually got an audible hello female voice down in the basement.
Really?
Oh, yeah. In fact, when I first heard it, I was like, well, who was that? Which one of the team members was that? And it was because nobody else was there but the two individuals that you see on camera. And I was like, they're like, no, we actually verbally or audibly heard that voice say hello to us. and they were back in that little crawl space that was busted open in the wall. So, yeah.
And that little crawl space was part of the Underground Railroad.
Yeah, that we believe to be.
We believe to be. And that was always a weird portion of that building because, it was like just bricks knocked out and there's this tunnel that's then bricked on either side. Interesting. Wow. And that's on, is that up there on the, on Haunted State on the docuseries or the
that movie? Is on one of the films. Yeah. Okay. I can't remember exactly which film it was, but it was a piece of evidence that we did catch.
Yeah. Haunted State, Amazon Prime, if you want to check that out and see what we've talked. We're talking about with the radio station because we've talked about that place for years. I have not seen that one. I got to watch that. That would be really interesting. Let's go to a phone call. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony, Carol. This is Eric from Central Illinois. I hope I can get through this story. This happened to me back in March of this year. To set the story up, my ex-wife and I had a miscarriage back in 2013. And fast forward, to March, I'm sitting in the, my living room of my apartment and my soon-to-be fiance and I were purchasing a house. COVID's going, just started. Very stressed out with money issues. And I'm sitting on my couch and just a stress ball. Just an absolute stress ball. And as a paranormal investigator, I do believe I'm somewhat sensitive. I can sometimes sense when something's there. And it almost feels like a somebody sitting on my chest. And I'm sitting on the couch and I start getting this sensation and it starts getting cold around me. And it's, again, it's March. It's not like it's 20 below. And I hear this voice and it says, "Dad, you're going to be okay. I'm okay, but just want you to know that you're going to be okay." And everything went away. And it's just, it was a very calming moment for me. So there it is. And we've moved into our house and we've had some things going on in our new house. And I will call back and share those. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. And obviously that's a very difficult one for you to get through. And the fact that you're able to do that, we appreciate it. You probably have reached several other people who've gone through something similar and made them not feel alone with something like that, that happening. And that certainly doesn't happen to everybody in those situations, but I hope it maybe brought you some peace. Thoughts?
First off, I mean, what a powerful story. And I'm sitting here just on the verge of tears myself, hearing him tell that story. And yet it's like, for me, it put a smile on my face only because I really do believe wholeheartedly that when we lose loved ones, whether it's a parent or a grandparent or somebody we've known a long time, or even in this case, when you're talking about a miscarriage, I'm a firm believer that those energies and those people are still with you. Mm-hmm. And so when he needed it most, it seems like this child came to him to basically comfort him. And what a wonderful thing. And I think we need to remember that. Again, I think we need to remember that these people in our lives that were part of our lives, and in this case, for slightly part of their lives, are still with you. And what a wonderful thing to have happen, to be able to give him comfort like that. It's just it's an outstanding story. And again, thank you for sharing it with us.
Yeah. Thank you for taking the time to share that. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Carol, Harper, and Tony. That's in alphabetical order. I would like to tell you about four dreams I had in June of 1990, which sounds weird, but there was one person in my life in particular in that time, and I don't know what she had to do with this, but she must have had something to do with it. In any case, I had a dream that my two nephews, who were teenagers at the time, got into bicycle crashes with a vehicle and died, which is horrible. They didn't really, but in my dream they did. And I woke up with that feeling, that horrible feeling, that the dream was trying to tell me something. So I left a message on my mom's voicemail, because they, all the grandkids were spending the summer at my mom's. And she decided to keep the kids in that day. And I found out later that a person we don't know on a bicycle got hit by a car right out in front of my parents' house and had to be carted off in an ambulance. I don't know the fate of that person, but pardon me. I thought that was an interesting coincidence. Then a few days or a week later, I had a dream that my mom's mom, Grandma, got into a cab trying to go home to her old house. Well, Grandma had Alzheimer's really bad, and in the dream, these cops stopped the cab driver thinking he was trying to kidnap Grandma, and he looked big and burly and badass, but it was a misunderstanding, and I knew that he wasn't bad. He was just trying to do what his passenger wanted. And I left my mother this message, and that day at the swimming pool where they all went for all the grandkids to get their swimming lessons, Grandma wandered off for a split second when my mother wasn't looking, and my mom couldn't find her amongst all the kids and the people at the swimming pool. Well, my mother starts panicking and looks all over and up and down and in the bathrooms, and she went out in front and looked in cars and in the parking lot. And lo and behold, one of the employees found Grandma wandering around and pulled her into the office. So thankfully, she was safe and sound in the office. And then about a week later, I had a dream that my friend, whose daughter had been running away, she was gone for about a week at that point. And in any case, her daughter returned on a Friday wearing a white shirt and blue pants. And I called my friend and told her this. And she called me the following Friday saying that her daughter returned wearing a white shirt and blue pants. It doesn't seem like a very big deal, but it seems oddly specific. And then the other dream I had dealt with my cousin and my aunt and uncle, and there was just some really violent, bloody symbolism in it. And when I shared it with my mother, it turns out that something similar happened in real life that I had no way of knowing, because it was a secret. In any case, thank you all so much for listening to everybody and giving us all a chance to tell our stories without being judged. We love you so much, and I hope you're all well and happy and healthy. Bye.
I do want to hear more about the violent, bloody symbolism, but I get it's a family secret, so it probably won't be shared. But of course, my curiosity is piqued.
Well, and obviously this caller has some sort of abilities to see and know things before they happen. I would love to sit and listen to all of her experiences. And I think it's interesting too, that sometimes the dreams are more symbolic, mm-hmm. like with her grandmother getting into a cab and kind of being lost. And then a little bit more specific when you're talking about the clothes, the blue jeans and the white shirt or whatever it was. I mean, I think it's interesting how it went from one gamut to another. But I will just say this. I hope I'm never in one of her dreams because I don't want to know what comes out the other side.
What do you do when you're someone who has those dreams and it feels like this is symbolic or this is, you know, flat out really kind of raw like some of them were, where like, here's the clothes. I mean, is that something? I mean, once you have those things, how do you use that information other than just to kind of make it a fun parlor game where it's like, oh, that shit did happen? You know, is there a reason for someone having those? Is there something where a message should be relayed, you know, right after you had that? Is it just kind of a self-reassurance thing? What are your thoughts on that when somebody gets those kind of confusing messages?
Well, I think she's done kind of the right thing. And when she's had those dreams, she's passed along any information she can on it. At that point, it's kind of out of her hands.
Yeah.
And something either comes out of it or something doesn't come out of it. But, you know, she's kind of passed that information along. I feel the same way about like people who have psychic abilities. Like, at what point do you say something about what you're feeling and what you know? And at what point do you not say something? Like, sure. I think that's got to be a really tough decision to make.
It does, because, I mean, you talk to people who are psychic and they'll be the first to tell, I mean, at least the reputable ones will be able to tell you, look, I'm not always right, but I do, you know, I'm just going to give you what I'm feeling. And if you were to verbalize every single thing that came out, your credibility would probably be hurt, because inevitably you'd have a lot of times where, look, it didn't turn out that way, but many right. times it would, but people would focus more so on the times that it did not. So you really would have to kind of know, this is one where I really should talk about it or not. And how do you judge what those times are?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure. Like in her situation, I would think that if it were a situation where someone could get hurt or somebody might get lost or somebody was missing, I think she'd probably be willing to share that information with
sure.
whoever she had to. So
yeah, if it's like this could be bad if you don't have right. this, let me tell you now what I have and you do what you will with it. Thank you for sharing that story with us. We do appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the show. If you like it, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to sign up and get access to all of our bonus material, advanced episodes, ebook, audiobook. It's all there. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.